Welcome. This is RAM Radio. RAM stands for Reformation Apologetics Ministry. The host of RAM Radio is Pastor John Coleman of Enter the Word, the Biblical Alternative. Using the Bible as his guide, Pastor John plans to equip the African-American Christian community with the tools that make the scriptures become clear for practical living and protection from the false teaching. Using the discipline of apologetics will open the eyes of the student of the Word to see God's absolute truth and the original intent of the scriptures. RAM Radio will challenge what you were taught about the Bible as well as your way of thinking and living in this world. God demands more from those who say, "I believe." Grab your Bible and pen and paper. Let's begin our study. Here's Pastor John Coleman.
Thank you so much, Mark Ramsey. Thank you for joining me for RAM Radio, the webcast, the Biblical Alternative. Tuesday, June 22nd, 2010. All you need is love. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 says, "Sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account of the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and with reverence." Welcome to RAM Radio, the webcast, and I am your webcast host, Pastor John Coleman, live here from the Lucy Coleman Studio in Los Angeles, California, on this Tuesday, the 22nd of June, 2010. It's graduation month, and tonight's subject matter is "All You Need Is Love." In a world of professing Christians, the true believer must always classify themselves as those who are justified in righteousness by their position in Christ. This divine absolutism must be affirmed by the standard of the Word of God alone. Enter the Word speaks to these particular absolutes. Enter the Word, this apologetic ministry that's stationed primarily for the African-American community, but inherently for any community that wants to take it, as any other true Christian ministry, must first look to God's Word as the highest standard that directs our lives. I cannot attempt to teach others. Listen to this. I cannot attempt to teach others unless I define who I am by what I believe as I stay into the Word. Welcome to today's broadcast. And I'm so pleased that you can join me for this webcast tonight. And I'd like to share something else with you because RAM Radio is a very unique radio presentation. It's designed to start your thinking processes, to motivate it a little bit more, for the purpose of rightly defending what you say you believe about God, how God works, how His Word works in you, what the Bible says, and what the relationship of that Bible is to you and Jesus Christ. So RAM Radio is dedicated to the defense of the Christian way of life. That's right, the Christian way of life, not an ethnocentric Christianity where you have a white Christ or a black Christ or, power to the people and all that kind of nonsense, but the Christ of the Scriptures that is alive today in heaven with God. And yes, Christ is God, and God is God. There is no confusion there, and the Holy Spirit is God. I'm not going to get into a teaching of the Trinity. You don't have to believe it. You don't have to believe a word that I'm saying. But I tell you one thing, this subject matter tonight is going to let you know whether your continual growth in the body as one that is called by God into His biblical salvation is legitimate or illegitimate. And this is what we're going to discuss tonight as we look into the subject matter of, all you need is love. Now, you guys know by now, since you've come to the website, that my play son, Mario, 22 years old, first came in contact with Mario when he was about 19, 20 years old. He was a young man that gave me tremendous, tremendous difficulty. When I brought him into my house, many a nights I wept, prayed, fought demons, almost physically fighting him. Some of my friends and family told me that it was the worst decision that I ever made. Matter of fact, one preacher told me, he said, "Negro, you know you can't go into our community and bring no black kid out of the ghetto, off the streets, into your home, that don't know Christ, that didn't come up in a background where The Bible has been his source of life. You can't do that. Don't you know that bringing black people in your home is dangerous? You know, I was talking with Dr. Klink a number of weeks ago, and he told me about a movie. And the movie was about a white family, a couple down in the South that took in a big black guy into their home to play football. He had come out of one of those project homes and was messed up. Well, I just saw the movie last night, as a matter of fact, for the first time, because Klink told me to rent it. He said, you need to see that movie. And I said, you know, Klink, I don't need another. You know what I said? I said, I don't need another Denzel Washington football coach movie. And Klink just said, just get the movie, John. Get the movie. Well, I didn't get it until last night. And, I forget the name of the movie because it's not important to me. But the character in the movie was a guy named Big Mike. Michael was his name. And some of you probably remember that. Well, now I know why Doc asked me to get the movie. Because of the character of the woman in the movie, when she saw something that a young man needed, and from her Christian background, she did it. Now, I want to tell you, I received in the mail a letter today from the Tavis Smiley Foundation talking about here in Los Angeles, they're going to have a pep rally to help these youth and all this stuff, and we're going to get together and we're going to try to stimulate them to get a better education. Now, you know, it's one thing when you're a millionaire and you put together a luncheon and stuff like that and get a lot of preachers that just want to have their name on the list and talk all that stuff about how to help the youngsters, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you really want to, why not? Why not? Let's see that you are a Christian family. And like us all, we're all struggling. No, Morio is not a success story. Morio is not a success story at all. Morio is what happens when somebody will love him enough and stop talking trash and love him and do something about that love. That young man would tell you that when he first came to my house, he was a whirlwind unleashed. Wouldn't wash his clothes. Room was a mess. Playing music loud, disturbing the neighbors and her children. It was just a mess. That boy was angry. That boy was turned off at life itself. He told me before he flew to England, because it's such a transformation, some of the Christians in my study group recognized it. When Mario first went over to their house, a fight almost ensued. One of the ladies had to give him the riot act, and we had to back her down because it was going to be some fist flying and everything else, because the kid just had absolutely no respect for anybody or anything. But that's what happens when you grow up and Satan is trying to destroy your life and cast it into the pit of hell. Well, I saw this young man. You guys know the story. I had taught him during the summer sessions at West LA College one summer, and he scored pretty well in my summer session. As a matter of fact, he made an A, and he was supposed to make up him failing the class, and he made up an A. And I said, wow. Just a second. And I said, wow, this kid is kind of smart. Oh, don't pay me any attention. I'm doing two things at one time. I said, this kid is pretty smart. I did not expect that. But anyhow, after the semester ended, Mario contacted me and asked me, could I speak with him? And I said, yes. And that's when he posed the question. He told me that situations in his family relationship had deteriorated down to the point where he was being physically abused by a family member, just outright physically abused. And he had nowhere else to go. He was just living in the hallway of a closet in an apartment on the floor, sleeping on the floor, just like in that movie that I saw when the kid said that was the first bed he was in. Mario had a bed before, but his mother died before she was 50 years old, and the father died tragically. I won't get into the events. So both of his parents are dead. And you know how it is when families say, well, he ain't going to be nothing. He's just blah, blah, blah. But when I taught him in my philosophy class, I saw something in him because I've always had this spark in me for African-American males. We all this trash that I hear and read about is just trash because I knew that I was one of those kids. All I needed was a place to stay, some warm food to put in my stomach. And I was only abused by an uncle sexually, but not physically abused. And it didn't go on for years and years and years. But just for the short time that I was sexually abused, I know what it did to me. It marked me for an awful long time. The effects of that is still upon me in some ways. So I knew what negativity could do to a young black man. But I had this idea. Now, since my wife had died and gone and went to heaven, and my daughters, both graduates of UCLA and grad school, University of Michigan and all that, since I had successfully raised two daughters and all of that, here I am living at home, doing webcasts, teaching philosophy to make a living because the church has fallen on bad times. And then Mario asked me the question, take me in the house. I had the time, I had the ability, and I did it. And it was a mess. I'm not going to lie to you and say that the Holy Ghost brought me through it and it was victory. No. Many a time I looked at that young lad and just wanted to choke him until he stopped breathing. I just tell you the truth. And many a time he wanted to choke me too. Matter of fact, he had no regard for a preacher because it was a preacher that tried to molest his brothers. He told me about that. And so I was very standoffish after he mentioned that to me because I didn't want him to think that at all. But I loved him. What do you do when you love him? And I recall one night he was coming in from school and he would get off college because he was still going to college and coming in from work. And he had gotten off the bus and he was walking home and two guys approached him with a pistol. Put the pistol to his head and said, give me your money. Mario had his book bag on and told him he didn't have any money. They were walking him around in the alley like they were, well, let's walk to a teller window. And he says, man, I don't have any money in my bank card. They were going to kill him. And I'll never forget he came home. I was wondering why he was so late. He came home, he was soaking wet. He just dashed off and ran from them. And he's a very quick runner. He ran cross country in high school and he runs home and he runs in his bedroom and he's screaming and he's crying and he falls on the bed. I don't know what's going on. And I went down there and he fell in my arms and I said, I got you, man. I got you. I'm not going to let you go. Very difficult for me to talk about. If you guys have never experienced anything like that, if you've never known a person that would come up like that, he was terrified of walking down the streets in South Central because he knew that a young man could lose his life at the drop of a hat. And I told him, you stand with the man of God. I said, son, I've been praying for you since the day you got here. Devil won't be able to get you because God wants to show you something. That's when the war began. He began to tell me there's no God. How do I know there's a God? There ain't no God there. All you people with this God idea, and look at my life, and my mama's dead, and my daddy is dead, and my brothers and sisters are spread all over Timbuktu. And he went at it. But you know what I did? I'm going to tell you what I did. I did not give up. I told that young lad, I said, all right, you don't believe me, but I'm going to love you even through all of this. And that's what you have to do, people. Listen, I'm making this webcast because I don't want you to think that Mario Canto is a success story. And I received a wonderful, wonderful email from a sister named Dottie. And I think that Sister Dottie from Maryland, she prompted me to make this webcast tonight. It's about 7:32 in Los Angeles. But she prompted me to make this webcast because what I'm suggesting to you is that each of you can have, if you want to call it a success story such as this. And I just want to share with you how it's done. First of all, you got to have a room, a spare room in your house. Okay? Now, the qualifying situation is that you must be a Christian, especially if you're a single male, whether you're white or black. If you're a single male, it's going to be very difficult for you to bring a young man that's of the age, 19 or 20, into your home because your wife is not going to have it. And then if you have a teenage daughter there, you know, you're afraid about that. But then you need to see that movie with Big Mike in there. Because, see, this lady in this movie, just like I did, cast all doubt aside. She knew what God could do. And I'm wondering, and I want to thank Bob Klink for advising me to see that movie. I had no idea that the movie was that important. But once you make that decision to bring the kid in, know that he's coming in with all of his baggage. Another thing, don't preach to him. Don't try to make him pray with you. You can pray if you want to, but don't make him pray with you. Don't say, we pray in this house. We go to church in this house. There's one thing that I did not do with Mario. Not once did I, because we were home churching. And I said, you don't have to come out to our Bible studies. Stay in the house, play your music, eat food, go jogging, do whatever you want to do. You don't have to. I said, whatever you do, don't come to worship with me. That's what I told him. I know some of you disagree because, see, you think you're going to get somebody saved. You ain't getting nobody saved. And I've been trying to tell people that for years. It never was your job to get nobody saved. I know some of you don't believe me because you bought into that evangelical crap. You have no power to do anything. Only thing that you're supposed to do is open up your heart and your home, feed the individual, love the individual, and keep your religion to yourself. Now, you notice I said keep your religion to yourself. You can tell you in the Lucy Coleman studio, can't you? It must be summertime. Ice cream truck is coming by again. But keep your religion to yourself. Because these young men don't want you to shove your religion down their throat, especially the kind of religion that has destroyed many a black man and white boy and Hispanic in our community. You know, this religion where you quoting the pastor. Well, the pastor said he know you living with me and the pastor wants to meet you. You tell the pastor to mind his own business. See, I didn't check with a group of clergy before I brought Mario into my house. No, I didn't. All I did was ask myself, are you up for the task? I thought I was. It was strenuous on me, but the Holy Spirit was speaking to me all alone, telling me to love him. That's the only thing that God ever told me through all that mess that I went through with that young man was to love him. And you know what, people? I've been saying this to you for a number of years. A lot of you call yourselves Christians. You not loving. You wouldn't dare strike out and do anything like that. Because it would mess up your old. And did it cost money? I had to buy the boy clothes, underwear, stuff for his computer. And you remember, he would come in here and work in my office and he crashed a couple of hard drives. One of my major computers with work. I mean, hundreds of hours of work gone, not even recoverable. I think that was a thing that the straw that almost broke the camel's back. I was so upset so upset. The work, the hundreds of hours that I did to do that. Because he was, you know, like these kids do, try to download video things and stuff like that. And I had this external hard drive, and he took it, and he used it to try to do that. And they sent him a virus, and it poisoned the whole hard drive. All I could do is look at him. And he just went on in the kitchen and made himself a sandwich. I didn't mean to do it. Like it was absolutely nothing. Now, yeah, I want you to feel me. Because you see, some of you thinking right now what you would have done. Oh, no. Oh, no. No, no. That's not what it's all about. It's not about what you would have done. When those things happen to you, what did the Bible say? If any man suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but to glorify God on the behalf of suffering. So that's what I did. See, now some of you are calling me a fool. Oh man, you a fool. I ain't gonna let nobody do that to me. Yeah, I understand. I understand. But you know what? I'm going to follow the word of God. I'm not going to follow you. Because in following the word of God, when it says, if any man suffer, let him not be ashamed, it means just what it says. Now, let's see if we can get some scripture on this, because I think it's important for us to excuse me, I'm looking for a particular verse. Well, you know where it is. If any man suffer, it's in the epistles of Peter, where he talks about that. And that's what I'm looking for right now on my computer. And, okay, here we go. There we go. Because I have to present scripture to you. I have to present scripture to you. If I don't present scripture to you, I'm being presumptuous. Because you don't think that that's how you have to suffer. But yes, it is. Well, you find that. I'm not going to look it up right now because I have things going through my head right now that I'm trying to talk about. If you're not willing to suffer as a Christian, then what is your Christianity is all about? If you're not willing to become a martyr as a Christian, that's another thing that I would say. What is your Christianity really all about? It's about suffering and martyrdom. It's about sacrifice. It's about losing. It's not about gaining. That's where we've lost it in Christianity, because what we think witnessing to somebody is all about is having this wonderful testimony because of some good deed that you've done. Let me tell you something. When you do a good deed to try to help a human being, there will most likely, in most cases, be tremendous suffering, and there's a cost to it. That's why Jesus says, count the cost before you set out to do something. So I'm giving you all these things because this is what you have to do. Then what you do is you pray. You pray for the young man. I prayed. And guess what? As I prayed for Mario, I was attacked by demons. Big time demon attack. Big time. I'll never forget one night Mario came in my room. He was up. It was about 1:30, 2 o'clock. The kid was used to doing that. And he came and woke me up and said, John, there's demons in this house. I said, yes, and they followed you here. That's the way I approached it. I know. I've been trying. Sometimes it would take me hours to get to sleep. I don't know what kind of background that kid came out of, but I was determined to pray for him. That's when I got to the point where I slept with the Bible under my pillow. That's when the demons stopped coming to me. If you ever have any demon attacks, put a Bible under your pillow, open it up, put your hand under that leather book. Trust me, no demon will come near you because they cannot stand that. And that also protected Mario. and he saw. I remember one night I was crying. I was pleading for his soul. And he heard me crying, and we were having breakfast the next morning. And he said, "Old man, are you all right?" I said, "What you talking about?" See, I didn't know he heard. He said, "I heard you crying last night." I said, "Yeah, I'll be all right." He said, "Are you all right?" And he came up and hugged me. I said, "I'm okay." I didn't tell him what I was crying about. Listen, you Christians out there, see, because you're playing this game. You're playing this game. When you're petitioning for somebody's soul like that, it's a fight. There's another fight that I have to get embroiled in with someone else that I'm very dear to and very dear to me. Right now, they're in a very rebellious state, and I'm going through the stages of praying and knowing that I have to pray for these people in order that their souls may be redeemed. And it's a fight. So you have to pray. And as you fight, you're praying. As you're praying, you're fighting for the soul of the individual. I told one man today who was telling me that he was having difficulty with a son of his, and he told me how he responded to his son, where he threw something at his son and broke it. And I got on the man's case, and I said, "You were wrong for doing that." And he said, "My son made me so angry, he plays and he doesn't get serious." I said, "That did not give you the right to break that which belonged to him." I said, "You were wrong." The man finally told me that he told him that he did. But I said, "You responded as a female." And guess what the response of his son was? It came out of his mouth like light. He says, "I hate your God. I hate him, and I hate you." See, friends, if you're theist, and let's talk about that a little bit, because, you know, we all talk about, "I love the Lord, and he heard my cry and pitied every groan." And, you know, we're theists. You know, we brag about that. "I believe in God. I believe in the Bible. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in the Christ." Do you? Well, why don't you believe enough to love somebody else and cast yourself aside? And don't be telling me how hard that is. Don't be telling me, because it's not hard. It was easy as me saying a number of years ago, "Where do you live? Let me go pick up your stuff and take you to my house." It was just that easy. It was a Saturday afternoon. Made about 6 trips to that boy's apartment where he was staying with somebody in his family. All that stuff I brought over here. And I said, "Lord have mercy, what have I done?" I did what God wanted me to do. Because he asked me a question. He said, "Oh, you're a pastor, right? You're supposed to love people, right?" I said, "Yes." And he said, "I need you to love me." And then he looked at me and mumbled something. I heard what he said. I didn't have to ask him. He cursed me. Because, see, that's what Christians have shown him. Bunch of talk and no walk. See, I'm talking about redeeming people in our community. If you're currently looking at that sermon that I'm putting up that I preached at Morning Star Baptist Church, you get a hint of how a pastor has to preach in an inner city church these days. Because I'm telling you, man, the so-called Christians there, man, they're setting on tons of money and classroom space and everything else, and it's just their own families. It won't help anybody else. And this is all over the city of Los Angeles. I can only imagine what it's like all over the country. If we're going to be effective in assisting young people in coming to know anything about Christ, we have to start living out our faith. Look out at that nephew, that cousin, that uncle, your brother's son, your sister's daughter, that kid that's getting ready to go into, you know, the juvenile institution. Look out. If you drive by a project and you work in one of those facilities and you know some of those people and you have a spare room, you got two sons and you got an extra bedroom, an extra bunk bed, talk with your children and your family members and say, you know what, we got to help somebody. Show something of the Christian. And see, I'm going to do it again. When Mario comes home, Lord willing, after he visits Paris for a couple of months and studies and enjoys himself, he's going to come back and get in the workforce, start doing his graduate work, and eventually move out of my home. Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring in another one. And I'm going to start from scratch because I know what's going to happen. And I'm going to do it over again. Yes, and there's a possibility that sometimes that will go wrong. But you know what? It ain't going to go wrong if God is in it. And if the lad kills me or something like that, let it be said, let it be done. Got to die sometime. But at least die loving the person. Our Christianity has become a laughing stock, a joke. And you know what? I don't want my life to be that way. And I think that it's time for each of us now to, and I'm going to take Mario's clip down in a couple of days. I'll probably move it down on the page because some of you heard me talk about him, and I just want you to see, and you see him. He's not a weak kid. He's a strong, muscle-bound dude. Now, he's in a foreign country, studying a foreign language on his way to, I think he told me that he wants to practice law. I said, really? Yes. Well, he has a good, he got his bachelor's in English, and since he's studying French, that's good. And then for him to think about law school, I told him to stay in Paris a couple of years, get a job there, work there, live there, and come back with his American citizenship when he's ready, when he's an adult, maybe even look for a wife there. I don't think you're going to, I'm just serious, ladies. I'm just going to tell you, unless some of these gals out here really change their disposition. And Mario's all male. I just told him, I said, man, don't think about marrying none of these people here. Because you better find somebody around the world that's going to listen to their husband and obey him. And I mean submit to him. I don't mean obey him if he's nuts. I mean submit to him in Christian love. You don't find too much of that in America now. That's offensive to the American female. But pray for Mario. I want to thank you, many of you, for your prayers. This isn't a brag-a-thon. It's. Listen, I want you to do what I've done. And I'm not talking about those of you that got a quiver full of kids. Because you already got a bunch of kids you got to raise. Raise them. I'm talking about those of you like me that has that two or three extra rooms. You're men out there. You working. You know what I'm talking about. You know what our community needs. You pass by them every day going to work in your car. See them boys standing out on the corner. You won't even stop your car and get out and talk with them. Not at all. Give them some encouragement. Try to help them find a job. And then when they tell you that they're sleeping out on the streets, brother. And you say, come on, man, I got a room over here for you. I ain't no punk, says neither am I. Don't preach to them. Don't shove your Bible down their throat. Remember, they've run into religious people. Religious people are the worst people you ever want to meet. Because religious people want you to get born again, whatever that means. And for you to walk down now, and you know what Mario told me when he came here? He said he's been to those churches. Matter of fact, when he left my home after he graduated from junior college, when he graduated from West LA, he went to live in Victorville, California. And he went to visit churches to see if they taught what I did. And after about a half a year, 6 months in Victorville, he comes back to Los Angeles. And he told me, he said, "Oh man, I went to every church in Victorville to see if I could see the love that you showed me, and there was none. They ran me out. They said I asked too many questions." And he said, "I asked the same questions I asked you. You answered them all with action and deed, and they just ran me out of the church." And I told him, I said, "I don't know why you played that experimental game. I could have told you before you wasted your time. Church folk are a total waste of your time. I'm talking about the real Christian." Just want you to think about that as you pray for Mario on this Tuesday night webcast. It's been good, and I've enjoyed myself. I've enjoyed myself. Thank you so much. And remember, what God wants us to do is he wants us to manifest in a very practical way who we are by how we live before the people that we stand before. Now, I don't know when you're going to listen to this webcast, but at the time that I made this webcast, I had preached at a church called Morning Star Missionary Baptist Church in Los Angeles. It used to be one of the largest Baptist churches in our city, especially when I got saved in 1967. Its pastor was very well known, and my pastor knew their pastor. I preached at Morning Star, and if you want to see it on the YouTube clips, it's called Morning Star Part 1, 2, 3, 4, or whatever it is. It was only about 1 hour and 5 minutes. But it'll give you a modern, up-to-date way as to how a pastor goes into a church. Because, see, they're looking for a pastor. They wanted my resume. I gave it to them, but I gave them the Word of God and let them know, if you get a preacher like me, this is what you're going to get every week. Pray for Morning Star as they allow the Holy Spirit to guide them to get that biblical man that is needed to instruct that congregation. God bless you. This is Pastor John. You know the drill, don't you? Yeah. Stay into the Word.